God says that we're the body of Christ. The Bible says that humility is having a knowledge and recognition that we are lower than God. Well, Brother John, I know that God's more than I am. Well, I'm going to give you some things here in a little bit that says that really you think different. You just think you think God's more over you. Because we don't act like it. Glory to God. Our life don't reflect that. Our life reflects that we're full of pride. Come on. If we understood and recognized that God was above us, we'd be a lot more obedient. Humility, true humility, is God consciousness. In other words, my mind is always stayed upon God. Pride is self-consciousness. My mind is always stayed upon me. How many of you know Jesus said you're going to have to get rid of all that selfishness? If you want to come after me, then you're going to have to deny yourself and give up your selfish ways. That's what Jesus said. He said, in other words, Jesus is saying, you're going to have to become like me. You're going to become more humble. You're going to become more God-conscious and be left self-conscious. All sin comes from deception. All sin comes from deception. And deception begins with pride. Come on. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven was pride, and that's how he attacks you. He deceives you, and then he puts a little seed of pride in you, and that begins to grow, and that develops into sin. All sin is based in pride. Pride is when you consciously or unconsciously begin that the universe revolves around you. And I know people in here just like that. The universe revolves around. Don't be looking around and see who it is. When you start thinking that the world revolves around you, you have stepped off into pride. Come on. It ain't about you. Ain't nothing about you. It's all about Jesus. And every single one of us in here is guilty of making it about us. When you start making it about you, you're getting off into pride. Because ain't nothing in this world about you. Hallelujah. You're important. The Bible says that we're all part of the body of Christ, and every member of the body is important. Every member of the body is important. So God says that you're important. It's not man's definition of humility. God's definition, it says, me, then you. And when it gets to you, you're supposed to be considerate of everybody else around you. Love God, number one. Love people, number two. A humble person loves God first and everybody else second. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. All this fighting and fussing and these arguments and all the other, the anxiety and the everything else that we go through, that's all because we self-centered. It's all because we're full of pride. He said, and I oppose the prideful. I oppose those who are full of pride. I have set myself against them. We wonder why we keep failing in this and that, and we're not successful in the things that we're supposed to be successful in. It's because God has opposed us because we're full of pride in those areas of our life. It's not that he doesn't love us. It's that he has to set himself against pride. Humility accepts God is God. Pride wants to be God. Humility says God is God. Pride says, I want to be God. And we're going to sit there and say, well, I know I ain't God. Yeah, but why do you pass judgment on people so quick? We want to judge people and decide how life ought to be for people, and things have got to be my way. No. If things got to be your way, you're trying to play God. And there's a whole lot of us that insist on everything being our way. That's playing God. That's not letting God be God. How about when you fussing about everything going on in your life? Do you not understand that God directs our lives? He orders the step of the righteous. How many of you in here righteous? Not because of your righteousness, because you have accepted Jesus Christ and you're righteous in him. If you're righteous in him, that means he is God. And you ain't got no right complaining about nothing because he has set it in place like that. And when you're complaining about a thing, you're saying, God, you're not doing a good enough job. Get out the way and let me do it. He says, humility understands God is God. Pride says, I want to be God. Humility is dependent upon God. Pride is independent. How many of you go about you just do it. The only time you call on God is when you can't handle it, when you think you can't handle it, because you can't really handle anything. We wait till it gets bad, then we're going to call on God because we done tried and tried and tried. Why? Because you're trying to be independent instead of dependent on God. He says you're supposed to depend on him for everything. Cast the whole of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Glory to God. You can't do nothing without Jesus. You think you can. You'll try to. You'll actually end up being successful if you work hard enough at some things. But the thing is, you've done it dependent of God, and that makes you full of pride, and he's opposing you because of that. Oh, glory to God. How many of you know you're supposed to ask him if that job's all right for you? Or if that house is all right for you? If that car is all right for you? How many of you know you're supposed to ask, is that spouse all right for you? Before you marry him. It helps if you ask beforehand. Come on. Don't ask after because it's too late. They're already yours. Humility focuses on the building of the kingdom of God. I mean, you know, that's what we're supposed to be here for. And pride says, I'm focused on what can I get? What I get out of it. I'll serve the kingdom as long as I get what I want out of it. If I ain't getting what I want, I ain't serving. Humility is focused on building the kingdom of God. What are you doing to build the kingdom of God? I'm going to tell you something. Most of us is so busy trying to get what we want. The only time we worry about the kingdom of God is when we got to go to church. Humility draws people to God. Pride draws people to self. Are you drawing people to the Lord Jesus? Or if they ain't got nothing for you, you don't even care about them. Jesus said, invite those to your parties that can't do nothing for you. Don't invite the ones that they're going to invite you back to their party. Invite the ones that can do absolutely nothing for you. See, you're supposed to be helping people that can't do nothing for you. That's humility. That's God's kind of humility. But when the only ones you're willing to help is those that can do something for you, that's pride. Drawing people to myself. I'm doing a little something so I can get congratulated. I'm doing a little something so they'll think good of me. Humility wants to see Jesus worship. Pride says you need to worship me. In other words, I need that pat on the back. I need you to tell me how good I am and how wonderful I am and all the great things that I'm doing. When humility says, look, man, I ain't respond any good in me, it came from Jesus. Anything that I done good, it was only because of the Holy Spirit residing in me and he led me to do good. Because there's nothing good inside of me. When the teacher came to Jesus, the rich man came to Jesus, he said, good teacher. And Jesus, his first thing was, why are you calling me good? Only God's good. See, that's what made Jesus humble. That's the humility in Jesus Christ. He said, look, and Jesus, knowing that he is equal to the Father, he didn't take it upon himself he said, look, only God's good. Only God's good. We sit there, somebody say, man, you'll go, well, you know, I try. I work real hard at it. I'm sure enjoying this worship you're doing right there. Just go on, keep it up a little bit. Let me tell you about some more good stuff I did. Humility desires God's ways. Pride wants my way. That ought to be enough said. I'd ask y'all to raise your hand, but I know y'all all keep your hand down. Y'all be lying, and I done influenced you to lie. How many of you want your own way? Oh, not me, Brother John. I'm just all the way by God's ways, man. Humility is soft clay. God can mold. Come on. See, it's a whole lot of people says I'm Christian, but they won't be molded by God. Their heart is not in, Lord, do whatever you got to do in me. Just do whatever, break me, Lord, do whatever it takes. That's soft clay. But pride says it's hard clay, and God can't work with hard clay. Ain't nothing he can do with you because your heart is resistant to him. You're full of pride. He says, because you're full of pride, I oppose you. And I ain't doing nothing in your life until you begin to humble yourself. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was a great king. God said, I'm going to humble you. He said, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to be crawling around on the ground. You're going to grow hair all over your body. You're going to be eating grass like an animal. You just think you a great king, but I'm going to show you who's God. Man, that's bad when God got to make a werewolf out of you. Come on. Oh, glory to God. He said, I oppose the proud. Praise Jesus. How many of you want God to oppose you? I hope nobody raised their hand. Humility sees the big picture. The humility sees that God is God of the universe, that he is all-powerful, and that everything is judged by his standards and not our standards. See, when we think things ought to be the way we want it to be, that's when we're trying to make things according to our standards instead of his standards. And everything is by his standards. Come on now. You get in the Word of God, and you'll find out what his standards are. You'll find out how you should be living and how you should be thinking. Humility, glory to God, because humility is always measured in terms of submission to God's will, the clearest indicator of true humility is a person's obedience to God. True humility is when we are obedient to God's will and to his word. You want to be humble? Get God's word and begin to submit to his word. See, a lot of us, we read through the Bible, we find something we don't like, we just quit looking at that. I ain't even going back to that scripture no more. A lot of people be happy if they could just tear pages out their Bible. I don't like that page. Tear that out. Don't got to read it no more. Turn to Proverbs 3. Go back to Proverbs 3. We're going to look at verse 3. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. You can follow along in your Bible. The Amplified is going to have a whole lot more words. You know, that's the woman's Bible. It's full of words. Well, it is. Women have way more words than men do. Oh, yeah. We short on words. You ever notice a woman's phone call will last 30 minutes? A man's about 30 seconds? Come on, we ain't got enough words. That's why we can't argue with you. You got way more words than we got. We just ain't that smart. Oh, come on now. I'm trying to give y'all a compliment, and y'all upset because Amplified Bible's a woman's Bible. You hear what he said? That's all that pride. So you get rid of all that pride, quit bothering you. All right. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness. Oh, that's tough right there. Shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. Verse 4. So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight of judgment of God and man. Verse 5. We all know this one here. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Humility occurs in the heart of a man or woman. He says, with all your heart and mind, do not rely upon your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and mind. Now, I looked up the biblical understanding of heart and mind because most of us think that's the same thing, but it's not. The heart refers to the human part that controls the desires, emotions, hopes, dreams, and other intangible parts of our being. Whereas the mind typically refers to the part of human that controls the intellect, the reason, and the thoughts. He said, with all of your thoughts, all of your emotions, everything, trust in God. Rely upon God with everything that you have, with your mind and your heart. Rely upon God. Don't be leaning on your own understanding because that's where pride comes from. You're going to have to be humble to trust in God. You're going to have to be humble to lean upon him with all of your thoughts, all of your emotions, all of your feelings. How many of you know your feelings will jack you up? He said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, yet we let our feelings lead us almost every day. We're led by our feelings. He didn't nowhere in the Bible can you find we're supposed to be led by our feelings. God gave us our feelings, but not to be led by them. He said, lean on him with all of your heart and all of your mind. I wrote this down yesterday. I said, when we truly humble, not relying on our own insight and understanding, we will see God. know, recognize, and acknowledge Him moving and working in every situation in our life. He'll be directing, making straight, and plain our path. We're going to have to humble ourselves to be able to see God working in our lives. Everything in your life. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, then every situation, every circumstance, every aggravating person, every good person, everything in your life is there by the plan and purpose of God. He said you have to lean upon Him and get out of your understanding, because if you're not leaning on Him and you're going by your understanding, you're full of pride, and I have to oppose you. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, recognize and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Verse 7 says, be not wise. Come on. Here's pride right here. Be not wise in your own eyes. Come on. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. Now, I put verse 8 there in the New Living. It says, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. What he's saying here is when you're full of pride, there's no way you're trusting God. You're leaning upon your own understanding. And until you get out, until you humble yourself, then he's going to oppose you. And that's a whole lot of reason why you're dealing with sickness in your body, because you're full of pride and you got no humility in you. He said, when you humble yourself, when you lean upon the Lord, you get away from your understanding, there'll be healing and strength for you. He said, the Bible says, He sent His word and healed them. When you're obedient to God's word, there's blessing in there. That's what grace is. Grace is blessing, is favor, is God's unmerited favor. It's the divine influence on the heart. When you let the Holy Spirit have His way in your life, healing comes to the body. Go to Psalms 25. We're back into the New King James. Praise Jesus. Psalms 25, we start in verse 8. Psalms 25, 8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way. Verse 9 says, the humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. Hold up, Brother Jimmy. Now justice is doing right. He says the humble He guides in doing right, and the humble He teaches His way. The King James says the meek, and what it means is the humble, the teachable, the prayerful, the gentle of spirit, those who are willing to learn. That's what he's saying when he says the humble or the meek. It is those who are willing to learn. Now, there's a whole lot of smart people in this room. People a lot smarter than me. But I'm going to tell you something. Just because we got intellect don't mean we're willing to learn. Because we ain't learning from the Bible. We're learning from the world. And then we're back into the world's we can have the world's definition of humble and miss God's definition of humble. Come on. He says, in order for you to be humble, you're going to have to be teachable. You're going to have to be teachable. You're going to have to be willing to be instructed in the ways of God. Teaches His way. The methods God teaches us with is His word, His spirit, His providence, or His divine guidance and care, and the advice and counsel of those who have experienced, the aged and the wise. I'm going to tell you something. The young people today have a problem listening to older people. They already know everything. When you get about 17, 18, you must be the smartest thing in the world. You get up in your 20s. Apparently, everybody else done forgot everything they know, because you know everything. So many times, you try to instruct your kid. I know. If you know so much, why are you having so many problems? God put people with age and wisdom in your life to instruct you. Now, older people, sometimes that can come from a younger person. But He gave you parents and grandparents to instruct you in the ways you're supposed to go. God speaks through people. God speaks through people. And when you think you know everything, you become unteachable. And therefore, you're no longer humble. If you're not teachable, then you're full of pride. Praise Jesus. Humility keeps you focused on his ways. Verse 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Glory to God. So he says, you want to be teachable. Go to Matthew 18. Let's see what teachable looks like. Y'all ready? Matthew 18, verse 1. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See, the disciples right there, pride just rising up in them. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I'm guaranteeing you, you can take this to the bank. I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He says, unless you convert, unless you let me change your mind. Romans 12, 2 says that your mind needs to be renewed. Another version says that to let God change the way you think by renewing your mind. Your mind, everything that you knew before has to change. You have to become like a little child. Well, I'm 70 years old. I'm not becoming like a little child. You need to become like a little child in your heart so that you can learn the ways of God, so that you can be taught the things that God's trying to teach you. Come on. I done read the Bible. I done read from Genesis to Revelation. Well, you read it again because you missed a whole bunch. I done read it 10 times, brother. Well, keep reading. You still ain't going to get there. In fact, if when you get to 100, realize you still ain't got nowhere. The Bible is the living word of God. It's constantly speaking to us. It'll never quit giving to you. What happens is we think we know it all. We don't need to read it no more. If you read daily, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can read certain scriptures. You can study that scripture and study that scripture and study that scripture for years. Preach on it 100 times. And then go back and read it to preach on it 101 times. And God speaks something out of there that you've never seen before. But only if you're teachable. Only if you're humble. Because if you're full of pride, you'll never see it. Praise God. Go to James 4. We'll quit there. I also put this one up in the Amplified. So I guess I don't need this here. James 4 and verse 1. I know some people think that the only thing you're supposed to use is King James, but I'm not one of those people. I like to use the New Living, the Amplified, the King James, the New King James. I look at the Jewish Bible, and I look at all of them. There's a lot, you can get a lot of good stuff out of it. James 4, 1. In the Amplified says, what leads to strife, discord, and feuds? And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? Sound like a whole lot like selfishness, don't it? He says, you are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose, it says, the Spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcomed with a jealous love. But he gives us more and more grace. Power, look, he's telling you what grace is. Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. He says, I'm going to give you some power to meet that. I'm going to give you some power that will overcome that. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace. How often? Continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. He says, I oppose those who are full of selfishness. You always fighting and arguing and everything because you're full of pride. You're full of selfishness. It's all about you. And he says, I'm going to resist you. You'll find none of my favor in those areas of your life. He said, but if you will be humble enough to receive grace. See, he's saying that there is a condition to receiving grace, and it's to be humble. Oh, glory to God. That doesn't mean you kick yourself. That doesn't mean that, oh, well, I'm just no good. And you know, people come up and they say, man, you sure sang good. Well, you know, it ain't me. Well, then you may be full of pride, too. You just trying to say that. I tell you, I like when people come and say, Brother John, that's a good message. I like it. And sometimes I say, well, you know, it's all the Holy Spirit. You know, got to look humble. But I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to resist that. James goes on to say, to resist the devil. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God. That pride is going to try to slip up on every single one of us. Every one of us is going to have an opportunity to let pride and deception come into our life. And when we allow it to come in, God will begin to resist us. We have set ourselves in opposition of him. He says, the only way you can receive my grace is for you to be humble. And 1 Peter 3:18, he says that you can grow. He says you must grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He expects us to grow in grace. Come on. Therefore, he expects us to humble ourselves. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was the most humble. Jesus is our example of humility. Yet you didn't see Jesus was not a walkover. You didn't walk over Jesus. He didn't go around punishing nobody. But he by no means was he timid. Come on. He was bold. He was bold in the face of death. Oh, glory to God. But he understood God was God. And he was obedient to God's word. Oh, praise Jesus. He said, I can call down. He's fixing to be crucified. He said, I can call down legions of angels. Get me right on out of here. Kill everybody around here. He said, but it's God's will for me to go through this. He's God. I'm obedient. That's humble. That's humble. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I need more grace in my life. Hallelujah. I need to become more humble. I need to study humble. I'm going to tell you, as I began to study grace, I began to see the favor of God move in my life. And he brought me right to this. And he said, you want to see more grace? Learn to be humble. Learn to be humble. We need that grace. We need that divine influence in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to do a great work in our lives. But you're going to have to humble yourself to see the greatest work.